When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you for tuning into the Sports Ethos Nets podcast. As always, your host, Cody Mallory, on Twitter, at RealCodyMallory. I'm once again joined by Joe Farrow on Twitter, that is at SwampDragonStan. And we are delighted to have Anthony Dittmar back after he missed the last episode due to traveling. And on Twitter, that is at AnthonyDittmar_. How's it going, guys?
What's good? I'm glad you guys held down the fort last episode. Sorry I couldn't make it. Had some arrangements going on, but glad to be back.
You were doing some scouting, right?
Yeah, I was at our competitors game. I was at the Bulls versus Wizards game. I actually got to see Spencer. He cleared protocols. So I was chanting some Spencer Dinwiddie chants at the Bulls game. I wore my Durant jersey. Some Bulls fans didn't really care for that. They had some choice words for me. But that's how we'll keep that to PG right here for that. The Bulls are really good. I'm not going to lie. Like I thought going into the year, they had like a bunch of like, there was one of those 2K teams where like you had like a lot of big names, but it doesn't really mesh. But they're good. Like they're very starter heavy. But if they get a couple bench pieces, I think them, the Bucks, the Nets, and the Heat are like all on equal playing field as of right now, based on how the teams are playing. I think if the Nets get clicking, there'll be a tier above them. But the Bulls are really good. They won 9 in a row, actually, before that, after the game. I think they lost yesterday, so like they lost the winning streak. And we do play them head-to-head, so hopefully we can catch up on them in the standings. But it was a fun game, honestly. Spencer played well, so that was cool.
Yeah, I'm sounds like it was a good time over there. And I'm more just annoyed that you weren't even on the last episode and yet you still were able to gain on us.
I saw the vision. Y'all both had a win at the Bucks. I'm like looking at the Nets schedule against good teams. I'm like, I don't know if it changes here. The Bucks kind of had our number. So you guys made fun of me for always going win. So I was like, screw it. I'll go for a loss and see if I can gain a game on them again.
Yeah.
You guys were happy when you gained the game on me on the first
one time. This man,
yeah, well, I saw no Drew Holiday, and I was like, oh, okay. So I'll just take a win. But clearly.
Like the next three. Well, you can push up to what, 26?
Oh, yeah. That's the real member of their big three.
You got a big four, maybe.
All right, Anthony, there hasn't been too much craziness going on. It seems like the league somewhat settled down, but there was some big news yesterday and some other small news if you want to kind of jump around the league real quick.
Yeah, so the big news, like you said, the COVID stuff, it's like kind of settled down a little bit. Like that 1-2 week span where like everyone was going to protocol was pretty crazy. I think we're just used to some guys going at this point. The Nets upcoming opponent, actually, we're playing Portland today. They have a lot of COVID guys like Damian Lillard and McCollum are out for separate things. They have a couple guys out with COVID, like Norman Powell. So should be in that swing, crossing fingers. But the big news in the league was Klay Thompson came back after 2.5 year absence. He was kind of forcing a shot a little bit. I was watching the game, but like anybody that's been out for a while, you kind of get back in the groove. He had a couple big 3-pointers and they beat the Cavaliers. So it was cool to see him back. Draymond Green actually was injured. It wasn't going to play, but he wanted to be out there for when Klay was back. So they did the jump ball. And then after the jump ball, he fouled intentionally, which I thought was a pretty cool moment, even though like the Warriors are a rival, kind of appreciate Klay. I like to see the NBA's best players play. So that was cool. Other news, I guess the Lakers are like 5-0, I think, they're actually 5-1 since they started LeBron at center. And it's kind of interesting. They kind of play their best doing small ball. So I wonder if like they start to go on that with Anthony Davis, the five. He's been kind of like against that in his career, but maybe the Lakers kind of get going. And the Grizzlies have been really hot. Like, that's the big thing I've been wanting to say. The Grizzlies won like nine in a row. They're a really good team. Like, they are like the fourth seed in the East, the West right now. And like, they honestly like are exceeding expectations. They've hit on like almost every single one of their like draft picks the last few years, like Desmond Bane, John Morant, the list goes on and on. Like, they have a really solid team. So I thought that was something to mention.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the Grizzlies, we saw them smash the Nets recently. But yeah, they've been on fire. Just a little quick update on the standings. The Bulls are still in first, as Anthony said before. The Nets are a game and a half back. You got Miami and Milwaukee, who are 2.5 back in Chicago. We got Philly creeping up in the standings. They've won six in a row. They're only 4.5 back at first. So they're definitely something to keep an eye on.
Those top five teams, I think, are going to be really close. I think those are like the top five teams going into the season. And I think those five, we're all going to be very close from here on out. Like, it's going to be tough.
Yeah. Yeah, the Cavs are kind of coming back to earth. They're 4-6 in their last 10. They're only four games above 500, but they're still top six. And you got Raptors, Hornets, Wizards, Celtics, Hawks, all within 2.5 games of each other from 7 through 7 through like 12. So if the East is kind of top, and then there's like that next tier, and then there's the way bottom of Indiana, Detroit, and Orlando.
That's been very disappointing. Like, they've been like playing terrible. Like, they have a lot of role players, like, where it's like they have too many, I think, where like they need to kind of like combine a few and try to like bundle them for a star, like a better player, in my opinion. I don't know if they're gonna win with that core. Like, Clint Capella, or whoever you think is their second best player, I don't think it's good enough to win personally.
It's crazy because Trae Young's been absolutely balling and they're five games below 500. So that tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, it's insane. Trae Young has just continued his reign of like absolutely insane statistics night after night. And it's just wild to see. And I agree, Anthony. They have so many young guys that are like have so much talent, like a Cam Reddish, but he doesn't really get to shine as much. I think if you package him with maybe a couple other guys that they have, they could really use, like, say they package Cam and like one of their bigger contracts, like a Bogdanovich. If they could upgrade at the two guard, that would be huge for the Hawks.
Yeah, I think Capella contract doesn't help either. Like, if I was them, maybe I'd try to move that. It's like just a lot of dead salary, in my opinion, for someone.
I think they would, except what's his name? Onyeka Okongwu hasn't been able to stay healthy.
Yeah, and he's like kind of a similar player, like just kind of a lob threat.
Yeah, exactly.
I would do a Claxton for Capella swap if the salary cap didn't exist. We saw James and Capella excel together in Houston. He owes him a lot of that money too from that contract.
Yeah. All right, guys. I'm sure you saw it, but Saturday I posted a bunch of Twitter polls. I think there's five. My mentions were pretty brutal. A lot of people were arguing. A lot of the polls weren't really designed to be close, but I still want to go through them, kind of get your guys' opinion, why people maybe voted what they voted. All right, so let's start with the first one. This actually had the closest vote. It was 58.4 to 41.6%. Which Brooklyn Nets team had the better role players, the 2020/2021 Nets or the 2021/2022 Nets? So obviously last season's role players were kind of different after the buyout market for before, but kind of all in all. So the 2020/2021 Nets won 58.4 to 41.6%, which means Nets Twitter thinks the Nets had better role players last season. I disagree, and then I'll talk to you guys about it after, but my reasoning is I think the role players are better, but losing Kyrie Irving and Joe Harris, these role players are having to do more than what their role is. So they're kind of taking on a bigger job than they should be. So it makes them seem weaker. And especially since the team's been kind of losing recently, that recency bias of maybe Patty Mills hasn't been shooting that well. So everyone's got like a lesser mindset on him. Or LaMarcus Aldridge was out. Obviously, Blake Griffin's decline. But I still think the Nets role players this year are better, and that we're going to see that when Kyrie Irving and Joe Harris are back in the lineup and everyone can kind of settle back into their role. Joe, which one do you think's better and why?
I chose last year's team. Okay. And that is because, like, I was looking at it, like, on paper, injuries turned off or whatever other reasons for people to miss games turned off. So, like, I was taking into account Kyrie Irving and Joe Harris, like, being here this year. But I was also thinking last year, if you look on paper, if there was – everybody was healthy, like I'm saying here in this fictional world, the Nets last year would have had Jeff Green, a good Blake Griffin, a healthy LaMarcus Aldridge, and a healthy Spencer Dinwiddie, and a couple other good pieces. So that's why I was just really looking at the team on paper from last year in my head. And, like, maybe it's just a lot of that I miss Jeff Green a lot. But I think that's why I chose them. But, I mean, basically, when we got Patty Mills, I really thought of it as, okay, so this is – having Patty Mills is going to be like if we had this team last year and Spencer Dinwiddie didn't tear his ACL. I'm like, it's just another insane scoring threat to put alongside the big three and all these other guys that we have that know how to play their role. So I was just thinking of it like that, just with the Patty Mills acquisition. But yeah. I think either way, I think both teams fully healthy, nothing going on. Like, I don't think anybody's even close to the Nets regardless either way. But I chose the Nets from last year from just like an on paper, no injury standpoint, but it you could go either way and I won't be mad at it.
That's fair. I didn't even really include Spencer Dinwiddie when I was thinking of it just because he was hurt basically the entire season.
But yeah, I just wanted to look at it as like a full like point of view with guys that were supposed to be on each team as the role guys, you know?
Right. My kind of, before we go to Anthony real quick, my take was Patty Mills is better than Landry Shamet. I think Bembry, even though for some reason Nash doesn't want to play the freaking guy, has been better this year than Bruce Brown was last year, kind of in the same role. I even think that the Nets have been better at center this year with Claxton and Aldridge playing better than DeAndre Jordan was last year before he finally got benched. But I definitely think it could go either way, and that's why the poll was pretty close. But Anthony, what's your take on it?
So as you guys said, like, it's definitely like perfect worlds, like completely healthy versus not healthy. But I'm going to look at it as a standpoint, like who was there for like the playoff rotation last year. Cause I'm not going to conclude Aldridge. I'm sorry. He played 5 games. Like, he was on the team at a certain point, but he really wasn't like a role player on this team for the long haul. So I don't want to include him. And like you said, Dinwiddie wasn't playing at all. Like from game 3 on, like rumor we have, if he was going to play in the conference final. Overall, if like all guys were healthy in terms of this year's team versus like what we actually had last year, I would probably go with this year's team only because like, Each guy right now is playing like 2 slots up than they need to be. Like, I know Blake has declined and Bruce Brown has been the same last year, but like DeAndre Bembry gives more on the defensive end than Jeff Green does, in my opinion. James Johnson too. And like the defensive effort the Nets have given, that's they need more. If they were fully healthy with like their offensive firepower this year, like their top 8 guys this year would be like their starting lineup be the big 3, Harris, Claxton, first 3 guys off the bench, their Mills, Aldridge, and you can go Bembry, you can go Blake Griffin, whoever you want. I think our top 8 this year is better than last year's top 8. I know you meant like role players, but I'm just going based on rotations. Like, I think like there were like Joe Harris in that role playing like is kind of like a push. I give Mills the edge. Even if Dinwiddie was playing, I'd probably give Mills the edge just because he's a better fit for this team. Dinwiddie's a guy that needs the ball in his hands. And like, unless like the entire big 3 is in the bench, that really wouldn't be beneficial for Dinwiddie. So I really think that like this year's team is a little better because you have Aldridge, you have Claxton who took a step forward. You have Patty Mills, who's better. And I think some of the defensive efforts from last year's team was definitely hurting us in the long run. So I feel like this year's team definitely gets the edge for me in terms of, like, overall impact for, like, a team's winning if everything was normal. Like, obviously, it's not normal. Like, James Johnson was supposed to be a big rotation piece in this team. Like, you had to keep that in mind.
Yeah. I mean, I pretty much agree with that take. And I just even want to throw out there that I really don't think the rookies have been fully unleashed yet. And it's a name I keep saying, but I really think Kessler Edwards is going to make a very big imprint on this team when it comes to the end of the season. I think he's kind of in that little like Claxton space where he's trying to get his conditioning back. You can kind of watch and tell, even in his limited spurts these last couple games, that he's getting winded relatively quick. Obviously, COVID has a different impact on everyone. But even me, like, I went to my bowling league, man, and I was winded from bowling. So, like, I can't even imagine playing a basketball game. But, and also, we still have the buyout market trade, so this Nets role players could change, and this debate could be completely different.
This is true.
All right, next question. This one is going to be, I don't even have to ask you guys your answer for this, but I still want to go into it. Which do you support more? I even tweeted underneath of this will show why Nets Twitter is such a shit show lately. The Brooklyn Nets as a team or an individual Nets player. I obviously, Brooklyn Nets as a team, I would say is all three of us. I really don't care about the individual player. Obviously, the individual players playing well allows the Nets to do better. But I sent out a tweet as kind of a joke. I was like, I don't care if Javon Carter is the starting point guard for the Nets if they win the championship. And everyone was like, oh, Cody, like, don't talk that into existence. I was like, if they win, I don't care who's playing on the team. Like, I just want to see them win a championship. I've never seen it. Obviously, none of us have. And it's like, I don't care who does well to do it as long as it happens. Anthony, we'll start with you first on this one.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, I really don't care for individual stands. I've never been, like, a stand where, like, comes to, like, the Nets. Like, I think that the overall success of the team is more important. It is kind of annoying, like, seeing people, like, argue about, like, who plays better or who's a better fit. Like, I see, like, Kyrie stands and Harden stands and Harden stands or Durant stands. And, like, yeah, it's, like, cool. We have more fans now because, like, we have these great players. And it's cool that, like, the fan base grows. And maybe some guys will stick post-Big Three era, so it helps the fan base grow. But in terms of, like, this, like, fights about, like who's done the best, it's just stupid. Like, I saw a tweet, I think it was from Billy Reinhardt. He was like, if the Nets won the finals, you'd have all three stand accounts fighting who deserves finals MVP. Like, not enjoying the championship. Like, bro, that's such facts. Like, I feel like that actually would be an argument if there was a case between a couple of them. But, yeah, you know where I stand. I'm a Nets fan first. And, like, if, like, I don't care who's playing. If we win, I'll be happy either way. I'll be ecstatic, actually.
Yeah, I'm obviously in the same boat. I mean, like, I don't care who plays as long as we can win a championship. Like, I think, yeah, Nets Twitter now is obviously full of individual player stands because we have three of the best players in the entire league. And it's just like, it's foolish that after every loss, there's either one individual player gets blamed and then all these stands are going at each other and it's one guy's telling him what their guy needs the rest of the team to do for him to succeed. And it's stupid, but I don't care. I really don't care who plays. We could have TLC as our starting small forward if we win a title. I don't care.
If you play bad, I'm going to make fun of you for playing bad. Or, like, be honest. Like, I'm going to be like, you play bad because of that. Like, I'm not going to hold feelings because that's someone's favorite player. Like, be better. Like, if you play better, no one's going to talk about it.
Yeah,
exactly.
And it's mostly Harden stands right now because he's been struggling, like, in terms of, like, overall scope of the season. So, like, that's, like, the main thing. And I'm just like, dude, enjoy the team. I feel like you just don't like how the player's playing. Like, we can debate about that. Not about.
I just wanted to throw out a tweet kind of go with this little thing. It's from DJ, part of Nets Republic. He's hilarious on Twitter, KingDJ_5297. Anyways, he tweeted out after Cam Thomas's game winner yesterday, Cam already more clutch than ... Never mind. First response, that fat boy wearing 13. Next response was, chill, your favorite player is still afraid of a needle. The next response is, your favorite player is scared of a diet. So, like, these are actual things that are happening on Nets Twitter right now. And I just thought that was hilarious.
That is funny.
All right. This next one. This one got probably the most heated out of any of the polls. I don't even want to say it, but should the Nets trade James Harden? I'm going to let Joe go first on this one. Just so you guys know, the poll went 80.5% to hell no, are you dumb? And 19.5% you said, yes, it's time to move on. And there were 600 votes. So that's basically saying, what, 100 people thought it's time to trade James Harden?
Well, Joe, you can take it. Take it. That 19.5% belong in the are you dumb category. That's all I really got to say. We don't trade James Harden. He's pivotal for us to win a championship. We went out and got him for us to win a championship. And it's that I guarantee you half of those votes are KD and Kyrie stans that think that he's just washed up and has nothing left to offer.
Yeah, I agree. I don't really have too much to say about this besides. So when I posted this, people were thought that I was saying that I should trade James Harden. That is absolutely not what I was saying, and I do not think they should trade James Harden at all. I think the debate becomes interesting when you talk about a max contract extension in the offseason, but we'll get to that at a later episode of the podcast. I don't want to discuss that now. I had people messaging me, like, in my message request, oh, the Nets should trade James Harden for Ben Simmons, right? Like, no. Ben Simmons, even this version of James Harden, Ben Simmons does nothing better besides maybe play defense and somewhat rebound to James Harden. And that would just not make the Nets better at all. So, no, no, no. Anthony, anything you want to add to this?
No, that's it. Like, just stop being an idiot. You're not getting a better player for James Harden unless you're getting Giannis or Steph Curry. That's it. Like, you don't do it. It makes no sense.
All right.
I'm just gonna throw... as the chemistry. I'm just saying, like, that's the only time you can make an argument.
I'm going to throw this out there to kind of go along with this. I'm going to ask both of you. Just want a yes or no answer. This trade's on the table for the Nets. It's not, but hypothetically say it is. James Harden for Dame Lillard. Anthony, are you doing it? Yes or no?
No.
Joe?
No.
Just because we have Kyrie, though. To be honest, if like it was like a different team, then I think about it. But I'm just
okay. Fair just enough. There. This one also got pretty heated between the Stan accounts. There was almost 1,300 votes on this, which really shows that individual player accounts are very real, especially the ones that follow me, I guess. But at their peak, who is a better basketball player? It was Kyrie Irving or James Harden. 24.9% said Kyrie Irving, 75.1% said James Harden. Anthony, I'll let you start first on this one.
Okay, so this is an interesting question. In terms of like God-given talent, like I think that's Kyrie Irving. I don't think it's a debate, just in terms of like what he was blessed with in terms of like candles and all like all together. In terms of like what they've accomplished in the NBA, who's been the better career, it's James Harden by a mile. He should be a multiple-time MVP winner. He only has one. Like he's been like a top five player at like various parts in his career. I'd say at least over a five-year stretch. You can argue like this year, obviously, probably not, but Kyrie Irving has never been a top five player in the NBA. Like, sorry, like he's a great player. Probably his peak is like top 15, and that's still nothing to like hold against. But like James Harden's had the better basketball career, and there's not really a debate to this.
Joe?
I completely agree. I think it's James Harden, and it's not even really close, and that's no disrespect to Kyrie. But I think it's just like when you look at their overall careers, like Anthony said, James Harden has been like top five in MVP voting for like 6 years straight. It's like it's unreal with the run that James Harden has been on in this like after the early stage of his career when he really got to Houston and he decided like I'm that guy now, like I'm going to average 37 points a game and you can't do anything about it. And it's like, and like Kyrie at his peak, like Anthony said, he's probably like top 15 player in the league, but James Harden is just like that guy. He was just like, they had people guarding him with it, their hands behind their back for like a year and a half. I'm like, how do you, James Harden is, I think he's easily a better player at his peak than Kyrie Irving.
Also, you have to factor in the best ability is availability. At certain points in his career, Kyrie just hasn't been on the court. And we've seen it with the Nets for various reasons. Like he's a lot of injuries in his career. And it's just like Harden's been like an Iron Man up until last year.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going to go with it was James Harden's been more available. Obviously, Kyrie Irving has won a championship, which, I mean, has to factor into the debate somewhat. But I would still say James Harden. I would say that Kyrie Irving is really in his peak time right now. And it's really a shame that we don't get to watch him more, that we haven't seen him in a while. But overall, I'm also saying James Harden.
You saw his stats for like the Nets. I think he's only played like less than half the games he's been a member of the Nets.
Yeah. Like which
last year was like PTO, I guess you could call it. And then this year was the vaccine.
Right. It's really hard to say like when is Kyrie Irving's peak? Because he's 28 right now. That's like your prime year. He was good with Boston, but he wasn't amazing. Like, would you say his peak was when he was on the Cavs with LeBron?
I think that, like, playoff run was definitely, like, the highlight of his career because he, like, in that finals, I know in that one game he dropped, like, 40 points and he was playing out of his mind. I know in that first finals he just wasn't playing at all. But in general, I think it's definitely it probably kept late Cavs, like maybe now if he was playing, but not the Celtics for sure. He kind of struggled there a little.
Well, last season was the best year of his career, statistically.
True.
Statistically. But the Cavs days were like his coming out party. That's really what it was. It was just like that was his arrival. And it's like a lot of times he showed flashes of like, okay, this is what I'm gonna be. And that's exactly what he is. He's gotten better and better every year. The Celtics, it's just like it wasn't a great fit for him because he was trying to get everybody else more involved and like not playing his own brand of basketball.
Right.
But I think, yeah, like you were saying, I think now is Kyrie Irving's peak. And I mean, 27 points per game on 50-40-90 is pretty ridiculous. But
for sure.
If he's able to play a full season, like you said, he's not even 30 years old yet. And that's still peak age. So I think he'll just only continue to get better because he's a master of his craft, Kyrie Irving. And
I agree.
He works tirelessly to just get better every single day. And I think that's exactly what he's doing in this time off. And I think he's just going to continue to get better.
I completely agree. I find myself rooting for the players or teams or et cetera in life that always get disrespected. And Kyrie Irving is one of the most disrespected athletes, I think, in all of sports in the United States. So I'm always rooting for him. And like we both said, I think if he can finally consistently get on the court for this next 3 or 4 years, then we might look back at this debate a little differently. But for now, I think all three of us said James Harden is particularly not close at this point in time. Last question before we quickly go into a recap of the two games that we saw since we last talked. Which pair of players has played better together so far? I'll even push it one farther for us. And if the Nets could only have two of the big three, which two would you want? But Kyrie and Durant got 55.4% of the vote. Harden and Durant got 11.9%. And Harden and Kyrie got 32.8%. So by far, people think Harden and Durant are the worst combo on Twitter. Obviously, that recency bias, again, was probably factoring into that. And the Stan account's fighting. But Joe, I'm going to start off with you on this one. This is a tough question, yeah. By the way. Like, you really can't go wrong because they're all three amazing players, but if you had to choose.
So when I think about it, it's like, okay, we had to go out and get James Harden because just the two of Kyrie and KD wasn't working exactly to plan. Right now, obviously, we're struggling without Kyrie. I don't know. I'd probably just say Kevin Durant and James Harden because those are the two most talented players. The two best players. And because James Harden, when he's not, like, obviously this year he struggled, but leading up to this year, James Harden and Kevin Durant were widely regarded as two of the top five players in basketball. But most accounts, they still are top 10. At worst. So,
yep.
I mean, I'd probably have to go James Harden and Kevin Durant, but I think that combo with this current play style of James Harden definitely needs another ball handler, which is like an upgrade from Patty Mills, i.e. Kyrie Irving. But,
right.
And again, nothing against Patty Mills. Patty's been great. He struggled recently, but I think I'd probably have to go with Harden and KD.
All right. I'm actually going to agree with Twitter on this one. I'm going to go with Kyrie and Durant. I know everyone, the struggles at the beginning of last season, it's fair. But you got to remember, Kevin Durant was just coming back from his Achilles injury. The Nets were getting used to Kyrie and Durant playing together. I saw what Kyrie and Durant were doing to Milwaukee in the playoffs. And that's what I remember from that duo more than what I remember in the beginning of last season when they were struggling. They couldn't stop anyone. And I think the Nets were kind of just gelling at the time. They had a bunch of new pieces. They made the trade. So, like, everything was constantly changing and in flux with that team. So I think that's why Kyrie and Durant struggled.
especially now. I hate to say it, but this is still a shell of James Harden, in my opinion, and he hasn't been great, I would say. But that's my take. I'm agreeing with Twitter, Kyrie and Durant. Anthony?
So on paper, like based on like the record, obviously I think Kyrie and Harden are the best record together, but in terms of like the long haul, I think that Durant and Kyrie definitely have the best chemistry in terms of like how they can play with one another the best. I think James Harden just excels better when he has the ball in his hand, dominating with role players. I think Durant and Kyrie kind of play each other with each other well because they both can shoot off the ball. Like if you ever notice, whenever James Harden gets like a wide open three, he never takes it. Like in terms, he has to like at least dribble a few times. Like I never see James Harden take a catch and shoot three. I just think with like, you know, that many stars, you need to be able to do that. So that's why I think Durant and Kyrie are the best combination. Because like if Durant's getting double, he kicks to Kyrie in the corner, it's open three, vice versa, or different role players. So if it's Harden, he kind of like needs to just dribble out the clock. And we've seen a lot of like fadeaway threes and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I feel that. Obviously, I think the easiest answer is just all three. I think the three complement each other very well when they finally play together. But all right, so let's quickly go through these recaps. There's really not too much for me to say. It's kind of been the common theme, and it feels repetitive to me. The Bucks game, I honestly have nothing to say. That game was a shit show. Nets got embarrassed, didn't show up once again. They were careless. They didn't shoot well. They couldn't make any threes. It was just bad. Like, it was boring to watch, and the rookies gave up some life, but it was too much too late, as once again. You guys want to add anything to this game? Like, I think it's just throwaway, and it sucks that the Nets lost another top team, especially the Bucks, because you have a feeling they're going to meet in the playoffs at some point. But I really have no takeaways at all from this basketball game.
We just please beat a freaking good team. Like, I'm sick. We beat our own 8 versus the NBA's top 8 teams. Our best win this year is probably Cleveland and then everybody out. So I don't know if we should include that. It'd be Philly or Boston. It's kind of bad, like, considering, like, how many teams we played. Time to beat a good team. Maybe beat the Bulls Wednesday. That'd be fun, right? Beating a good team.
Wednesday night in Chicago, coming to you.
Though, kind of weird. That's kind of weird.
No, yeah, there's much to say about that Bucks game. It was just upsetting. They didn't show up yet again, and it was just like, blech. I don't even know.
Really, never number. I'm nervous about them. Even fully healthy, I'm nervous about the Bucks. They have like that chemistry, like from last year's championship run. They're a good freaking team. Like fully healthy, I don't think it's gonna be like a cakewalk. Like, I think we'll still beat them, but, like, it's not going to be a cakewalk.
Yeah, I agree. I even said last year, all season, that Milwaukee, even when they were struggling in the beginning, that they scared me the most for the Nets, and I got a bunch of shit for it. But their big three of Giannis, Drew Holiday, and Chris Middleton are very, very good. They can both – they're all three are, like, two-way players. So they're definitely something to keep an eye on. But let's forget that game ever happened. Let's move on to the Spurs game from yesterday. It was once again kind of the same story of the Nets get out to a lead, then they let them back in the game. The Spurs were incredibly depleted, so everyone was kind of hoping it was going to be a blowout. I know the line on DraftKings was -10.5 for the Nets. Obviously, that didn't happen. The Nets won off a Kill a Cam floater in overtime, 121-119. Once again, like, it's really hard to make any takeaways when you're missing Kyrie Irving and Joe Harris. So, like, I really don't have anything else to say about this game either. Besides that, the Kessler Edwards looked good in his 12 minutes, and I want that boy on the court more. But Anthony or Joe, you guys want to add anything?
We need to close out games better. Sorry. You want to go, Joe?
No, you got it. Go ahead.
Close out games better. Like, teams like that, when it's like DeJounte Murray and the G League Spurs, you should be up by 15-20 in the fourth quarter. I'm not saying every game needs to be a blow against bad teams. But we don't have him ever. So it's like time to start getting some of those wins because Kevin Durant and James Harden are really getting like their minutes up there. Like they're playing 40 plus minutes. We're going to have to start resting them some games just so they're like fresh for the playoffs. You don't want them to have tired legs. Like that's a game where you should do that. Matinee game at home. Pick it up.
I completely agree with everything you said. That game should have been over going into the fourth. But instead we had to come to the eventual conclusion where KD had to give the ball to Cam Thomas to put a floater to put the game away. It was just like in overtime against the Spurs. Like, we've just got to be better than that.
I agree. And what really sucks is it should have been over, like you said, and we shouldn't see Kevin Durant and James Harden logging 43 and 44 minutes, especially when they got another game tonight and they have to travel. But they're both going to play, so it's time to make picks. Anthony, you're two games up on me and Joe. So lucky for you, you get to pick first, my friend.
I will pick first. So I'm going to go.
So we got Blazers tonight.
Blazers, it's Bulls and Thunder.
Yep, so you got to pick all three.
Ready? Blazers, win. Bulls, first good win of the year, win. OKC, win.
Joe?
I'm going to copy Anthony. I'm going three wins.
You guys suck. I'm also going to go three wins. So we're all picking the same thing. No ground will be made up.
2-point lead. Let's go.
No fun will be had. But
I feel like you guys are more afraid of them you picking a loss against the Bulls and then me picking up another game. You'd rather just keep it.
I'm going to be honest. If the game was in Brooklyn, I would have picked the Bulls. But I think in Chicago, the Nets are going to win.
Yeah, I think, by the way, Anthony only has one win over me. He has 8, I have 7, and you have 6.
Oh, I have 6? All right, I didn't know that. That's fair. Actually, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to change my pick. I think they're going to lose to Oklahoma City at home in Brooklyn back-to-back after the game against Chicago.
Get out.
So I'm going win against Portland, win against Chicago, loss against OKC, because I got to make us some ground. I don't think they're actually going to lose, but I think it's the best chance out of the three, and I can't just play passive and let you guys beat me.
It's a long season, man. I don't know. Picking the loss against OKC could be a – that's your choice, man.
I'm taking it. Win loss.
You probably could have made up some ground on the West Coast road trip. That's gonna be a tough trip to pick, but that's you, my friend.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. All right, anything else you guys want to talk about real quick? Or I think we pretty much covered most of it. I was very interested in the Twitter polls. Like I said, it kind of blew up my Twitter mentions all day Saturday. So
yeah, let's go Nets. Let's start picking up some wins. And like we got a not tough schedule, but like we have a lot of a big road trip coming up after this week. We have a lot of games this week, some makeups. So let's try to stay hot and like try to get hot. And try to get back on the winning ways.
Yeah, I agree. I'm ready to get some wins, and I'm glad to see Kyrie go to play two games in a row. So let's go.
I'll even one up you. I'm excited to see Kyrie play 6 out of 8 in the next 8 games. 6 of them are on the road. So.
Isn't it also like 18 or something like that?
What was that?
Isn't it also like 13 of 18 are on the road?
Yeah. So they play 2 on the road, 2 at home, 4 on the road, 2 at home, and then 5 on the road, all in a row. But so we're going to see plenty of Kyrie. Once again, this is the Sports Ethos Nets podcast. Your host, Cody Mallory. Please comment, like, subscribe, follow us, tweet at us, interact. And I was once again joined by Anthony Dittmar and Joe Farrow. Let's go Nets.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.